Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Yes, you can email the show aliveandkicking at newstalk.com, or you will find me on Instagram. I'm at Claire McKenna Presents. Coming up this morning, Andy Ramage on his solo Camino. And as of June 1st, free HRT was made available to the women of Ireland. So how is it all working? I'll be joined by an expert panel for the good, the bad and the ugly update. So what kind of a health and wellness week did I have? Well, I had a good week. We were in Clifton in Galway for a few days, family time with some friends and their kids too. So a really lovely mix. And I've said it before and I'm sure I'll say it again, but Ireland is my favourite. I'm ashamed to say it took the pandemic to really prove that to me. And perhaps also that appreciation comes a bit later in life. I've returned to value living in a small community that I perhaps fled from in my late teens and early 20s. And now all of a sudden I'm mad for a view that I might not have even noticed at that time of my life. It's all in good time, I suppose. But Ireland cannot be beaten, I believe, when it comes to the people, the food and the whole vibe we have, really. I mean, I'm not immune to the fact that there are places around the world which can really beat our asses with the continued sunshine and the different climate. But I actually had the best few days out west. Sea swimming, seafood, a bit of crack. Sure, where else would you get it, really? And I also love the opportunity to pack the car to the rafters and avoid the airport hangout. For me, it's staycation all the way. You can email the show aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Now, I have announced that I'm heading to the Camino with Focus Ireland from the 25th of September to the 2nd of October. We're putting together a group of 20 and the spots are filling up. Everything will be sorted for you by Focus Ireland. You just pay your fee. That covers all your costs, your flights, your accommodation, the route, the guide, the works. And of course, your all-important donation is included in that cost and will go a long way to help Focus Ireland to end homelessness in Ireland. So I have been lapping up all Camino-based content in my own preparation. And Andy Ramage, who has been a regular on the show to talk about alcohol-free living and the psychology of motivation. So it caught my eye on his Instagram recently when he said he was heading off to the Camino on his own and with limited access to his digital life. And Andy Ramage joins me on the line now. Andy, how are you?
Marvellous.
Good stuff. Now, I've had you on the show before talking about alcohol-free life. And I think at the centre of all of our discussions, because we've also discussed the psychology of motivation together many, many times, is this essence with which you live in following both of those strings to your bow, this living a life of intention and listening to the whispers. So when did this whisper for you to do the Camino on your own come to you first?
Do you know what? I've been trying to figure this out. I think it's been one of those that must have come from a book. But I grew up a Catholic in the UK, and essentially the origins of the Camino is a Catholic pilgrimage. So I think I must have been influenced somewhere subconsciously by this adventure. But where it really materialized, 6 years ago, midway through my alcohol-free adventure, I wrote down my BHAG goals, my big, hairy, audacious goals. One of them was to quit my job and start training coaches. One of them was to create a documentary. All of these things are coming true, but there was one that hadn't come true, and that was walk the Camino. It's been on my wall for 5 years, staring at me every day, walk the Camino. So that's the essence of it, I think.
Okay, interesting. So it's sort of been bubbling around in the back, and not even in the background, right in front of your eyes every day. But I think this is interesting because we've also been talking about changing the stereotype that you have to wait until retirement, that it's for people in retirement, absolutely. But it can be for anybody who feels called or would like to take some time out. But I think the things that will stand in people's way are, of course, some anxiety around raising the funds to get there, but stepping out of your life for a week. Why do we struggle so much with that when we've got family responsibilities, work responsibilities, and we think, no, that's not something I can do for myself?
Yeah, and I was really surprised, having walked the Camino, that all ages were on that walk, from 19-year-olds that I walked with to 90-year-olds. I mean, it is incredible. And I believe, and I'm really a passionate believer in this now, it doesn't matter at what stage of life you are, one of the greatest gifts you can ever give yourself it's just some time away from the noise, the busyness. I mean, imagine people have been doing that walk for 1,000 years for the same reasons, just to spend some time with themselves, you know, in solitude. Is such a gift in our busyness of a modern world. And I think everyone has a profound experience through that that will change the direction potentially of their life, their relationships, their future careers. Therefore, it is something worth prioritizing. But equally, as you say, it's very difficult because it's very easy to say, well, I can't do it because I've got this on and that on. But you can do it in stages. And I would argue that even 1 week in that first week was really powerful for me. So it's not that you have to do the full Camino. You could just do a few days or even a week. And most people can manage that.
And did you have that thought process? I mean, you have a wife and 2 daughters. You have a thriving business. Like, you have people that need you. How difficult was it for you to take that time for you and to say to all of those people, the people you coach, the people who work for you and with you and your family, I'm going to take this one on my own? It's one thing to go on a family holiday, but you were just going to do this one on your own.
I know. It did take a little bit of convincing past my wonderful girls. And I did dangle a nice carrot of a trip to Ibiza at the very end of it to celebrate the wonderful walk. But in all seriousness, it was just something I felt that was important. And therefore, it's been on my list and radar for a while. So there was the planning behind it, obviously making sure I was up to date on all those things, work related, that I'd let people know that I was going and actually really mapped out the journey so that my wife and my girls would be fully aware of where I was. So it just took that bit of extra planning. It wasn't excessive planning, but equally the rewards are that you come back, I think, a better person for it, which is a gift in many ways to your family, loved ones, colleagues and friends.
100%. You were like, I'm heading off. I'm going essentially off grid. I'll be contactable. But you didn't do social media. You didn't do emails. Did you say for 5 weeks?
5 weeks. And at one point, I was tempted to do a live. I often do lives on social media because it was such a wonderful experience. I wanted to share it. But what happened, and this is the magic of the Camino, when you have no distraction and you're away from those things, the second that thought entered my mind, it clouded my mind for about 90 minutes. So I was walking for 90 minutes and my mind was doing the gymnastics of, should I do the live? Shouldn't I do the live? Is this a good thing? Is it not a good thing? And then I sort of woke up 90 minutes later and realized I'd been walking all that time and not immersed in the present moment in the wonderful surrounds. So it was a lovely wake-up call. So I did that live. I then deleted it and then never went near my phone or social media again for the rest of the trip because I could see what it was doing to my mind because I had this lovely clarity prior to that. And again, that's part of the wonderful experience of the Camino.
That's so interesting because I often feel that that is not only my thought process and yours as you've just described it, but everybody's. When we watch a concert or see a nice view, we start taking our phones out to record it or think where we're going to post it. It's pulling us from the present moment. It's a mad new reflex that we have in this modern age.
And the truth is, I think it's always been around us. I think that's why people have been drawn to this walk. So the modern age with all its distractions, that is what you discover on that Camino. And it was such a gift for me. It was a real life reaffirming gift of the present moment. I've studied mindfulness and these things for 12 years, never clicked until that Camino. I got a chance to look at what it's like to live life free from distraction, mostly in the present moment. And I've got to tell you, it was blissful. It was joyful, and that has followed me home.
So give us a typical day on the Camino for you.
So mine was just wake up and go. There was one point, and this is so anti-Camino, but it made me laugh because I phoned my lovely wife Tara to tell her I was leading the Camino. I was winning the Camino. I'd left so early, which is such an anti-Camino thing to possibly do, but it was just coming out of Pamplona, and I think I'd left about 6. It was still dark. And I thought, there's no one around. I'm at the front of the Camino. If there's a yellow jersey, I'd be carrying it. But yeah, a typical morning for me was get up and go and then walk. I loved the walking so much so that I just wanted to walk further and further in the end. And what you find on the Camino is such a beautiful experience that probably about every 5 kilometers or so, there's a little restaurant or a cafe where you can stop and have a coffee or some Spanish omelette is what I would do. And then it's just that beautiful movement. And the scenery's changing all the time. You never know who you're going to meet. Everyone talks to everyone. It is honestly humanity, I think, at its best. It's like this little utopia on this trail. You have a shared common goal. The only people on that trail are Camino people from all over the world. By the time you've walked that 20 kilometers, 30 kilometers, you've connected with 5, 10 different new friends that are willing to connect and share their stories of why they're there. It's just such a joyful experience, all of it. People just want to talk about real things, like deep things, whether that's their adventure that brought them to the Camino, their spiritual beliefs, their thoughts, their ideas, their fears, their dreams. It's like that's what our soul needs. We need to be nourished with quality connection and communication like that. So you can absolutely go on your own.
Can I ask you an important question? And I keep getting different answers on poles, walking poles or no walking poles?
100,000,000% walking poles. It's the top tip for the Camino. Love them. Essential. Absolutely essential. Take the pressure off your knees, uphill, downhill, extra propulsion. Love them. Could not recommend poles enough. Yeah, and the other big game changer are your boots. It is so essential to get really good boots. Get great boots, get great poles, and you're off to a wonderful adventure.
Final question then. I'm interested in something you said about bringing that home, because I think it's the same with any retreat or any holiday. We go away, we're like, okay, I've got lots of key insights here. This is the real me, I often say to my tanned face on a holiday mirror. How do we make sure that we bring that energy home to our everyday life and not just return back to normal or what, you know, we were doing before?
Yeah, and I think this is the wonderful spirit of the Camino, why it's transformational in many ways, because you do bring those insights home. There's a sense of oneness with our humanity, which was really, really important and powerful to me. That sense of the present moment and how powerful and blissful that is. How time in nature is so important. You know, I have a mini Camino now all the time on a Sunday where everything goes off. There's no tech. There's no thinking about work. There's just a mini Camino, which is me being present with family, being present in nature, going on mini adventures. So I think it's really bringing that mindset with you.
Okay, amazing. Well, I can hear you glow talking about it, so it's getting me even more excited. If you want to find out more about the amazing work of Andy Ramage, go to andyramage.com. Andy, thank you so, so much for coming on.
Alive and kicking on News Talk.
Now, we received an email from a listener recently who was looking to hear more about HRT and menopause. They said, and I quote, "So many women are still very much in the dark about HRT. I'm not a medic, but knowledge is power. And in a world where women still carry a lot of stigma and indeed shame with regard to their mental and physical health, HRT can go a long way to help them see light at the end of what can be a very long and dark tunnel." So, following the commencement of free HRT in Ireland, not just that email, though we are always grateful to receive them, we thought it would be a good opportunity to explore the ins and outs of HRT, its benefits and its risks with our panel today. Joining us are Dr. Colette Barry of Menopositive and consultant physician in the Bonsecours Hospital in Dublin, Victoria Jones, also known as the Menopause Pharmacist, and Loretta Dignam, founder and CEO of the Menopause Hub, Ireland's first dedicated menopause clinic. Well, you're all very welcome. And thank you very much, all of you, because it is still such an important topic. I'm not hesitant about talking about the menopause at all, Colette, but I always want to make sure that there's no switch off with the sheer amount it's got from people, that there's always a focus on the negative and the fear mongering. And I never want to be a part of that. Where do you think we're at with the menopause discussion?
Okay, well, Claire, I never wanted to be on the negative side of menopause and HRT. And menopause will affect all women at different ages. Certainly, I look after women in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. I'm even pushing into the 70s now. And obviously, there was a big fear factor back from the Women's Health Initiative back in 2002. And unfortunately, a lot of women are still living with the fear of HRT and breast cancer and really not even considering HRT. And we really need to dive deep and dig deep and really look into HRT and look at the benefits of all of our hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and indeed testosterone is something we should talk about, and the benefits for women. Obviously, women struggle a lot with perimenopause and menopausal symptoms. and HRT can help with these symptoms. So we can talk about some of the symptoms. And then with HRT, obviously, there's also long-term benefits, benefits for our heart, our bone, our brain, our muscle, our skin, our eyes. I can keep listing them.
And HRT has changed. I think that's really important to get out now. So the HRT that was around, that perhaps that study that caused the fear, the HRT is not the same now and we know more.
Yes. So HRT now, we're very much using transdermal estrogen. So patients, women are on estrogen patches, estrogen gels, estrogen sprays, and these are very safe. So they are applied to the skin and we absorb these directly through the skin into our systemic system. And then we get all the benefits from the estrogen. Progesterone, again, and that's body identical, bioidentical estrogen. We now use micronized progesterone, which is, again, a bioidentical progesterone, and that's usually taken as a tablet. And testosterone is used again as a gel, transdermal. And these are all identical to our own hormones. What I like about with the estrogen, progesterone and the testosterone that we're using today, you can actually measure the levels in a patient's blood to see exactly what their levels are. So it is the same as our own estrogen, our own progesterone and our own testosterone.
So how do you know you should be taking it or could be taking it?
Okay, so first of all, we have a lot of women who are struggling with perimenopausal symptoms. And I think to make it quite clear that these women are having regular periods, that they may not have any difference in their cycle, but they begin really struggling with anxiety, low mood, tearfulness, they're overwhelmed, they can't join the dots, they can't multitask. They're just not themselves. They lose the joy of life and motivation. And then in many ways, they start struggling with their relationships, be it with their partners, with their children. They can really start struggling with work and pulling out from social life, social friends, social engagements. And that can really be the start of it. And they don't realise that it's perimenopause. And indeed, a lot of these patients are being put on medications such as antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications, medications to help with sleep. And certainly by the time they come to me, they may be on a number of medications, but not yet started on HRT.
And I always say a symptom of I just don't feel like myself is enough to go to talk to the GP about. I think we need to wait until our leg is hanging off before we ask for any support. But that is not the case. If you're not feeling your normal self and you can't quite put your finger on it, go to a professional who might be able to help you find out what that is.
Exactly. If you're not feeling like yourself, and let's think, you know, if you're in your late 30s, if you're in your 40s, 50s, really think about perimenopause, menopause. Not feeling like yourself is one of the major symptoms, is one of the major symptoms. Yes.
One of the biggest issues, I think, is the fact that it comes in midlife. So you're going to be a little bit overwhelmed because you've been working for a long time. You've been adulting for a long time. You've perhaps been parenting for a long time. You might be caring for older parents. So there are a lot of other things which might be causing you to feel not like yourself, but that's still not enough reason to struggle on.
Exactly. So I would have a number of women actually at the moment who are in their early 40s, career women who have done very well, obviously worked hard to get to their position in their careers. They're very senior in their careers. And all of a sudden they get hit with these symptoms, anxiety, cheerfulness, lack of motivation, just not coping. And they're thinking, is it stress? Because often they're mothers to young children. They're in relationships and work. And they're thinking, is it stress? Is it burnout? And is a perimenopause. And I would sit down with these women, go through all their symptoms with them, and then prescribe appropriate HRT, be it estrogen, progesterone, more and more, including testosterone, and systemic HRT, also localized HRT. And as I say, well, let's take perimenopause out of the equation and see what's left. and yes. go from there. Yeah.
There may be other little tweaks in life, but yes, HRT may well be part of the solution. I want to bring you in, Victoria Jones, the menopause pharmacist. Is HRT for everyone?
I suppose, like all medications, as long as someone has informed, and women in Ireland, I suppose, I feel like we've always been on the back foot with education on our health. So, for instance, in the pharmacies in Ireland, you can walk in as a gentleman and buy Viagra over the counter. Now, some of the side effects of that would be blindness, you know, death and heart attacks. But we give men the kudos and we understand that if they're properly counselled and they're given the information, that they can make that informed choice themselves. Whereas HRT for women, it's like we're not given the information yet. So one of the things that we do on Instagram and in the shop and in the pharmacy is just trying to give this free education to women so that you can make an informed choice as a woman. And you can decide if it's for you. Not all medication is for everyone. And HRT is not for everyone. Should it be offered as an option to everyone? Yes, 100%. When Colette was talking about the women she sees in perimenopause, in late 30s, early 40s, as a pharmacist, and I have a science degree, so after 9 years in college, when it happened to me at 40, I didn't realise what was happening. And if I'm an Irish pharmacist who's well educated, and I didn't even know it was happening to me, and I had all of those symptoms, then we need to do better to not only educate our healthcare professionals, but the women of Ireland. The people on the street need to know that there's choices out there and that it's not just for women with grey hair and they're 60 and then there's a bit of a HRT for them. No, it's not. The difficulty with HRT in Ireland is we need to have more open and honest conversations. And we also need to explain how safe it is. We've touched on that today, but there needs to be more education piece around that. And I really think that let's give women the knowledge and then the power to choose for themselves. So, and it is just one piece of the puzzle. HRT is not going to change your life if you're drinking a couple of bottles of wine a week, you're sitting on the couch, you're relying on a lot of sugary foods. That's suddenly where I was, trying to make myself feel better, but I was feeling worse and worse and worse. And my mental health, which I'd never struggled with before, suddenly taking a massive hit, and I just felt overwhelmed, just exhausted. I didn't want to go out. I'm usually really chatty. I couldn't think of anything worse. I was having panic attacks. I wasn't having the hot flushes and my periods hadn't stopped. No, my periods were kind of regular. And it was during COVID. I just opened a pharmacy and I was overwhelmed. So I was that person, but I was lucky enough to find a doctor who said to me, Victoria, I think it's your hormones. And I had thought, I think it is my hormones, but I didn't really know where to turn. And as a pharmacist, if I didn't know, then how does somebody else know? So I suppose that's the most important piece for me, is that we talk about it. So doing a show like this, letting listeners think, God, maybe that feeling of overwhelm in my 40s is actually perimenopause. Maybe it's to do with my hormones. My symptoms seem to be a lot worse. You know, that 2 weeks before my period, it used to be a few days before my period, feel a bit PMS-y. And then suddenly it was a week. And then it was kind of 2 weeks. So for 2.5 weeks of the month, I was riddled with this anxiety and it was awful. And then my period would come and I'd go, feel a bit better for about a week. So as soon as I started HRT, I was really lucky. Within a week, I started to feel more myself. And I couldn't believe that it was that easy. And it was that simple.
So what's happening in our bodies in perimenopause when our hormones start to change, and what does HRT do to mitigate that?
So in our natural cycles since puberty, we have estrogen, progesterone, testosterone goes up and down in fluctuation each month to give us our monthly cycle. So during the perimenopause, our body is working really hard to try and push out and ovulate and push out our eggs. So during perimenopause, it's coming to the end of our reproductive life, basically. Now, that can take 10 years during the perimenopause. But during that time, for some women, your hormones go haywire. So rather than having that lovely curve of up and down, we're getting this erratic up, down, up, down, up, down. So one day you feel fantastic and another day you're feeling horrendous. And that's what's happening during the perimenopause. So it's very hard to pinpoint, because then you could be fine for 3 or 4 months and you go, God, that was a bit weird. And then it starts all over again. And you're thinking, oh my goodness. So often by the time women have made the appointment with the doctor, And then the day they sit in front of the doctor, they say, the doctor says, how are you? And they say, actually, I'm not too bad today. I think I might have just been a bit stressed. But the next day they might be falling off a cliff again. So it is very difficult to pinpoint. And your best friend or your sister won't have the same hormone journey as yourselves. So sometimes there it can run in families. So early menopause or early perimenopause was in my family. And only through education did we find that out, and we knew about that. And that's why hormones have helped me. But that erraticness of the hormones is what's causing these symptoms. And actually, people say that the fluctuations, these massive dips and troughs of estrogen, progesterone during the perimenopause is much worse for symptoms than actually when you're in menopause. And it actually starts to taper down a little bit. It's not so bad. So the perimenopause is really where I love women to look at HRT, to level off. So when you're using estrogen and progesterone, we're not just topping up, we're just leveling off. So it's like getting off the roller coaster and onto a road. So that's what we want to give a flat line and want you to just drive down that path rather than have these ups and downs of this roller coaster constantly. So that's what HRT does.
I want to bring in Loretta Dignam on the line, founder and CEO of the Menopause Hub. Loretta, you were on the show just before the announcement of June 1st, and this was great news to women across the country and the people in their lives that they were going to be able to access this, because the conversation has moved on, as I mentioned to Colette. We're moving on from the scary negative to this is just a life stage and here's all the information that you need. So June 1st, how have things been going since then with the free HRT scheme?
Well, when I started the Menopause Hub back in 2018, nobody was talking about menopause. And I started it because I wanted women to know what was happening to them. And the biggest thing, and that conversation that you've just had, being forewarned is forearmed, education is power. And that is a fact. So I set up the Menopause Hub to help women practically with, you know, medical solutions and so on, but also to campaign and to act as a voice for women and to help them get the support and help they need. And if you can imagine going into puberty, not knowing anything about it and all the different things that happen, we would all be terrified. We'd be all running to the doctor. What's going on? What's going on? But we do know about puberty and we educate our children and society gives latitude and understanding. But when we get to menopause and perimenopause, it's been radio silence. So now, in the past couple of years, the pendulum has swung very far, which I think is a great thing. And it will eventually settle down so that it becomes as mainstream as puberty, I hope. And so if I look at what's happened since June the 1st, is that HRT is now available freely. And most products are available free on the scheme. And you don't have to spend up to €80 and everything after that. It's free. Everything is free. And I'm absolutely dumbstruck, actually, that this happened so quickly, because I started only campaigning for this about 4 years ago, put a petition together with Sally Ann Brady of the Irish Menopause, and never really expected it to come into force for a while, because free contraception took such a long time. But since June, women can now avail of their HRT free, which is fantastic. And the feedback that we've had in our clinics across the country is that women really welcome this. They're delighted to actually have something free that's aimed at them. I think what it also does is opens the net for those who wish to avail of HRT but who couldn't afford it and maybe who weren't on a medical card. And for them, it was about buying a new pair of runners for their kids or getting help for their menopause or perimenopause. So that's a fantastic thing. And women aren't really used to getting a lot of things free or a lot of things around their health in Ireland. I think the other thing is that it also sends a message, I think, to doctors, to women, that actually HRT is a lot safer than we thought, because if it wasn't safe, would the government be providing it free? So there's a message in there to women and to the medical professionals. And then the only concern I have, and I never want to be negative about anything, but is that, you know, there are shortages of HRT, and both of the other the guests on the programme know well about these from a medical doctor prescribing perspective, from a pharmacy perspective. And there are shortages of the patches already. So with more women coming on stream availing of this new scheme, it puts further pressure on the supply chain. And that would be my big concern right now. We are getting emails from women every day, phone calls saying, you know, I've been prescribed Estradot, I can't get it, I have to take this patch, it's falling off, it's no good to me, I need to change to this, a gel, maybe the gel doesn't work as well for them. Or, you know, they go to a spray and maybe that doesn't work as well for them and they really want to stay on the patch that they had. And then women are, you know, going abroad, they're going up to the north, they're going to the UK, where they also have shortages, going to Spain to get their HRT and are probably more successful in Spain in getting it on prescription. But, you know, women are kind of swapping prescriptions on Facebook groups and whatever, which isn't ideal and isn't anything that's recommended. But you can see that women can become desperate. So that's the only negative that I see. I'm not sure how it's working at the pharmacy end for you, Victoria, and all the other pharmacists. But from the patient-customer perspective, from women's perspective, it's been a fantastic thing.
Yeah, and I want to shout about that in a minute. I mean, as I said, I don't like to be negative either, but I think that's definitely something we should all start shouting about.
Alive and kicking on News Talk.
I'm joined by an expert panel to discuss HRT. I'm joined by Dr. Colette Barry of Menopositive and consultant physician at the Bonsecours Hospital in Dublin, Victoria Jones, the menopause pharmacist, and Loretta Dignam, founder and CEO of the Menopause Hub. We are talking, as I say, about HRT. And before the break, we were talking about how things have gone since June 1st and the free HRT scheme came into being. And Victoria, it is a very positive development. It did send out a message, as Loretta said, and gave women access to something that is expensive. But there are shortage issues. What's going on there? Because you touched on Viagra and there isn't a problem getting Viagra. Why is there a problem getting HRT?
There's never been a problem getting Viagra, ironically. It's a really complex issue. And while the conversation around menopause and the free HRT has been a great tagline for the political parties, I wish that we were using more of our political power to lobby the pharmaceutical companies. So for Estradot is on the tip of everyone's tongue. It's incredibly short supply in the Irish market. It has been on the market for a very long time. But because the prices of drugs are negotiated at a point in time, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, the cost of production of everything in the world, your coffee, your milk, your HRT, everything has gone up in price. So if the government, for say, has negotiated €5 or €10 for a packet of Estradot, and in the 10 years since they've negotiated that price, production, the companies, it's just not worth their while to produce it. I have been told that it is not a viable option for these companies to produce it, that they're not making any money out of it. Well, then negotiate with these companies and make sure and ring fence some product for the Irish market. In the UK, you can't get UK product in, there's a list in the UK that they will not export. They keep it for only their population. We should be doing the same here. We should be insisting on a particular amount coming into the Irish market and negotiate on the price. We have so many people in the government that can do that. Instead, we are having a huge foray about free HRT. It's only free if you can access it. So while it's wonderful, and I'm sure the Minister, Jennifer, has had great press out of it, it's very difficult. So as a pharmacist who runs a specialised menopause pharmacy, I probably do more HRT than any other pharmacy in Ireland. I spend at least a quarter of my day where I should be talking to my patients, looking for stock, trying to source stock, trying to explain to patients why I can't get their product. I use Estradot. So even for myself, it's incredibly stressful. And the amount of stress and anxiety it adds to women is unfair. And in a period of time where we're trying to reduce that anxiety level and they found something finally to make them feel better, and then they go to the pharmacy and they're told, can't get it. What do you mean you can't get it? It's very frustrating. And so we go out of our way to do it. But there's only so much product coming into the Irish market. So something the government needs to intervene. You can't just roll out a scheme. While it was fantastic and it empowered so many women and it opened up conversations, that's the major positives of the free HRT scheme. But we had free HRT for a large majority of Irish women already through the medical card. So there was a huge proportion of women who were able to access it for free. So I do see much more conversation around it, but there's no conversation from the government on shortages or ring fencing or trying to talk to these pharmaceutical companies and saying you really need to increase your production. And pharmaceutical companies don't make product that doesn't make them any money.
Yeah. And I think the shortages, and as you say, coming up against that wall or that barrier also sends a message to women that their health is not being prioritised, which is an age-old issue. Dr. Colette Barry of Menopositive and Consultant Physician at Bonsecours, can I bring you in on that? What impact does it have on women if they're changing the brands and they're going from one patch that works for them and one patch that comes off them and inflamed skin and all of that? Does that impact on their perimenopause journey?
Okay, very much so, because they may be on one patch which suits them very well and they're getting very good absorption out of it and their symptoms can be really controlled if they have a supply of that for maybe 2 or 3 months, and then they may move on to a different patch and it's not absorbing as well and they're feeling anxious, they may be getting night sweats, flushes again. I suppose in my position as a doctor, I'm very privileged to be dealing with these patients, to be prescribing for these patients. I know there's problems with patches, so I do tend to move more towards gel. I prescribe a lot of Estrogel. I prescribe a lot of Divigel because I know it's available and women can access it, and they then get familiar with the gels from the start and it is available, so they don't get that stress about going in for patches, not being able to find an appropriate patch. And women are actually moving from patches to gels because they have had a lot of problems with the patches. Now, to date, none of my patients have had problems accessing these gels. Progesterone is available, testosterone, testogel, Tostrin 2% gel have been available. So I haven't had any issues there. So I, as a prescriber, that's how I'm trying to manage these difficulties for my patients. But if there's problems with access to Estrogel and Divigel, certainly, it would cause huge problems for patients. I mean, these medications are keeping them in work. They're keeping them in relationships. They're keeping them, as good parents, good friends, keeping their lives going.
Yeah, and that should be important. Loretta, what are we going to do about this? Can you get another petition going that we can all get behind?
Well, listen, I have to say, I'm all for women advocating for themselves, and women have had to, through the whole perimenopause and menopause journey, advocate for themselves with their clinicians, with their doctors. And so I think, there's power in numbers. And I think programs like this are absolutely amazing because it brings it to the attention of the public. And I think that's something that we could consider. I've always wanted to march on the Dáil about women's issues. So, maybe the HRT shortages is the right thing that we should be doing. But I do all think that we should be working together. And I think getting free HRT in itself is proof that if we act together and if we join forces and we put our voices together, we can change and make changes in society for our own good. And it really is time that women start to take their own health into their own hands and to advocate together. So yes, I think is the short answer.
Very fantastic. Colette, let's get into the different types then briefly. We've touched on estrogen a lot, but you've also mentioned that there is progesterone and testosterone. Tell us a little bit about those.
Okay, so progesterone is primarily used at the moment to protect the uterine lining, as when we give people extra estrogen, it can cause the lining of the womb, the uterine lining, to thicken, and there can be a small risk of basically uterine cancer, and therefore we give women the progesterone to protect their uterus. But since setting up my menopausative clinic a year ago and dealing with patients, what I really have learned is progesterone is a systemic hormone. It certainly works in the brain. It works systemically around the body. Women find it calming. It's great for sleep. It's great for mood, anxiety, and even women who have this background tension. They can be doing very well on their estrogen, and then you just add in progesterone and it just gives that calming effect. tension, anxiety just reduces. So progesterone certainly is important for all of those benefits, and probably also going to be very important for mental health issues. And that's something that really we're still discovering. Now, so most women will get set up initially on estrogen and progesterone. And when women are set up on estrogen and progesterone, what I always say to my ladies is, come back to me and let's see what's left. So what symptoms are they complaining about then? So from the point of view of testosterone, so what is it beneficial for? Certainly it gives women energy, because a lot of women are just dragging themselves around. Motivation. My women in their 40s who are struggling in work say they just have no motivation to do what they used to do, what they used to love doing in the workplace. Lack of vitality. They're struggling with memory, concentration. They're struggling with mood. So certainly testosterone can really help with brain fog. And to quote patients, what patients who come back having started testosterone will say is they have a pep in their step. They say a joie de vivre, it's life back in colour. And the big thing that they say is, I'm back, I'm me again. And it's, there's great satisfaction to hear people coming back with that. And of course, testosterone is known for helping with libido, and it certainly can do that for a number of people, not for everyone. But certainly there's a lot of benefits from testosterone. It's not just libido.
And I think that's why it's really important that we have these conversations. We can't talk about every single facet of this, unfortunately, in the time constraints that we have. But particularly for women, we talk about aging and anti-aging. And we tend to look at aging and the menopause, although that is changing, as a slowing down and, you know, withering away. And that is so not the case. And that's why I think women often accept a lessening of their libido, lessening of their energy levels, an overwhelm, that that's just the way life is, and it doesn't have to be that way. So I want to thank each and every one of you on this panel for holding space for women and giving them back that pep in their step and beyond. Victoria, I'm conscious there will be people listening who cannot take HRT. I know I have a number of friends who have had breast cancer, and estrogen isn't an option, and I want to include them in this conversation. So what would you say to people who can't take HRT?
First of all, I'd like to say that there is options out there for everyone. And I'm going to say things that are really boring, but there is so much lifestyle choices out there that you should be using in conjunction with HRT. And if you're not able to take HRT, you should be doing those. So HRT is not a one size fits all, and it is not a golden bullet. So eating well, getting sleep, prioritizing your mental health. For me, it's going for walks, spending time with my friends, not drinking too much alcohol, getting sleep, doing my yoga, doing my Pilates. They actually fill me up and fill up my cup. But they're the kind of things we really need to focus on as well. So while HRT is great, it really cannot be used alone. So for women who can't use HRT, those lifestyle factors are even more crucial. So they need to be focusing on like going to the gym, lifting heavier weights, building muscle mass, getting stronger for longevity for them. There's lots of herbal supplements which you can use depending on what is their particular issue. Is it sleep? Maybe it's some magnesium bisglycinate. Is it a little bit of anxiety? Maybe it's ashwagandha. Maybe it is they're feeling a bit low. Are the B vitamins a bit low? Is it hot flushes? Then there's sage. So there's so many safe alternatives out there that you can use with HRT or without HRT, along with the lifestyle things. And people hate when I talk about lifestyle because they just want a simple solution in a packet. But it isn't that easy, and I wish it was. So there is loads out there that you can use really safely. And it is, maybe it's acupuncture for stress. Maybe it is hot yoga. I find amazing. I used to find that my brain wouldn't stop. And when my friend dragged me to hot yoga, I was like, oh God, I loved it. It's the only time my brain is quiet, and it's really good for my mental health and my physical health. So to try new things, get out there, drag a friend along. But there is lots and lots out there for women. So don't feel disheartened, and they can often feel marginalised because there is so much HRT talk. But please don't. They can also safely use vaginal estrogen, which is really important, not only for sexual function, that uncomfortable feeling they get in the vaginal area. Some women think that that's normal, or they get this bit of incontinence or stress incontinence, or they can't go on the trampoline anymore, they can't go to the gym anymore because they leak a little bit. Or it can be, so all of these things are can often be helped with vaginal estrogen, which is just a tiny, tiny, tiny amount that is inserted locally into the vaginal tissue. And that can make a huge, huge difference. And that's a safe in the majority of patients who've had cancer, including estrogen positive breast cancer. And that's something that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah. So don't be afraid to put yourself first, to fill up your own cup and to also still seek support and find out what it is you can do. Finally, Dr. Colette Barry, I want to ask you about post-menopause. I often get emails from women saying nobody is talking about this. So is HRT to be taken for a short period of time, a long period of time, forever? Are we still researching how long? A lot of questions there to end on.
No, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Obviously, ideally women start HRT in perimenopause and they continue it all the way through their perimenopause. And that's when, as Victoria described, our hormones are fluctuating and we're really struggling with our multiple symptoms. And managing patients during perimenopause is more difficult than managing patients that are postmenopause, because with fluctuating hormones, I often need to change the amount of estrogen, progesterone, testosterone I'm giving patients. But post, and ideally, we say the patients should start HRT within 10 years of menopause. And that's very much to get the benefits from the bone, brain and heart benefits. However, I have a lot of women in their 60s who come along and are starting HRT. They probably went through an average menopause at the moment is about 51, 52, 53 in Ireland. So they went through menopause in early 50s and they can really be struggling by the time they get to their early mid 60s without having been on any systemic or indeed localized HRT. And they're really benefiting from starting HRT. And of course, when we start HRT, we're getting all the benefits. But if we don't continue it, we're quickly going to lose those benefits. So obviously the bone health, the bone mineral density, if we stop taking our hormones, will drop. We will lose the heart benefits, the brain benefits. So what we're really saying when we start women on HRT now, we are going to be on it for life.
Well, we as women all need to be part of this push, this change, moving on the research. And let's keep talking, let's keep pushing, let's keep fighting. Loretta, when you've had your break in Kerry, you can get on with organising the march and the petition, please. And to all of you again, thank you so much for holding space for women and doing all that you do. To Dr. Colette Barry of Menopositive and consultant physician at the Bon Secours Hospital in Dublin, Victoria Jones, the menopause pharmacist, and Loretta Dignam, founder and CEO of the Menopause Hub, thank you so much for coming on. So that's it for Alive and Kicking for this week. My thanks to my producer, Marisa O'Sullivan. Rory Galvin was on podcasts and Hugo De Silva Scott was on sound. And thanks to you for listening. I will see you next week.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.